Right, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, and a blessed and happy Father's Day in advance to all the fathers and all the father figures that act as fathers for our children. Father, we come to you now, thanking you because you are our Father. You are the one who watches over us, who takes care of us day in and day out. And so we pause in order to say thank you for your care and keeping. Thank you, Father, that we can depend on you at all times and in all seasons. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Moses is on his way out of Egypt. Yesterday, we started our meditation by stating that Moses was on his way to Egypt. Finally, he was going to Egypt in obedience to God's word and to fulfill his destiny. But now he is on his way out of Egypt with the people of Israel. But the deal is this: the road had not been easy. He had to overcome many obstacles to get to this point. So the first obstacle he had to overcome was time. Yes, time. You see, it took 9 months. Yes, 9 months after arriving in Egypt before the plan of God to free his people was fulfilled. And you know, sometimes time can be our enemy. If God said something to us, if he made a promise, then the expectation is that it should happen immediately. But that is often not the case. The promise often takes time, which requires patiently waiting on our part for the promise to be fulfilled. And that's where we sometimes get into trouble. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They had trouble waiting for a son. And so Sarah impatiently gave Abraham her servant Hagar, the Egyptian, and that produced Ishmael, who became the Arabs. And to this day, they have been a thorn in the side of Sarah's son Isaac and the Israelites. You see, it took 25 years, but the promise was fulfilled. But the problem was they were waiting impatiently for the promise, and so they tried to manipulate it and mess things up. You know, Jesus was born to be the savior of the world, but he did not even start his ministry until he was age 30, and it was 3.5 years after that when he finally fulfilled the purpose of his birth and became the Passover lamb. Yes, the Lamb of God who died so that death can pass over all of us who apply his blood to the door of our hearts by faith. So likewise, Moses was born to be the deliverer, but it was 80 years after his birth, 80 years after his birth, that God finally called him. And then it was 9 months after that before God sent the death angel that killed Pharaoh's son and forced Pharaoh to bow to God's will and agree to let the people go. I'm telling you, it takes time for the plan and purpose of God to be fulfilled in your life. Not because God isn't able to do it immediately, but because God is also working in you as well as working through you so that when you receive the promise, you will be ready for it. And then the second obstacle to overcome is discouragement. Often in the waiting, we get discouraged because, well, things aren't working out as we expected. Israel got discouraged because The burden literally got harder before it got better. You see, when they first made the demand, Pharaoh, to let the people go, Pharaoh decreed that they must make the same quantity of brick, but now they also had to go and find their own straw as well in order to make the bricks. And so what happened? The people complained to Moses, and Moses complained to God. You see, discouragement can make us lose sight of what it is God is trying to do in us. God wants to make us strong spiritually in the process. You see, waiting grows us up. Mm-hmm. It helps us to build the faith muscle. It teaches us to walk by faith, not by the circumstances. You see, this is the deal. All the while that Israel was waiting, God was at work displaying his mighty power for everybody to see. In the plagues that God sent, he was showing the Egyptians his great power over their false gods. You see, each of the 10 plagues that God used were not selected randomly. Oh no, not at all. Each one of them was something that the Egyptian worshipped. For instance, the Nile River, they worshiped that. So God turned it to blood, killing that food supply and their main source of water. They worship all kinds of animals, frogs, lice, flies, locusts, cattle. So God used their gods, little g gods, to become a plague to them so that they had to beg the true God to remove their false gods from their lives. Wow, isn't that amazing? In the things that God does and the way in which he does them. But very often, we are not able to see what God is doing when we are in the middle of the situation. Often it is afterwards, when we look back with 2020 vision, that we are then able to see what it was that God was doing. The Egyptians also worshiped the sun. So God caused the sun to stop shining and for darkness to be upon the land for 3 long days. In fact, the darkness was so pervasive, the text tells us that it could literally be felt. And then, of course, the most famous plague of all was the death of the firstborn. You see, Pharaoh and the people, the Egyptians, believed that Pharaoh himself was a god, a little g god, of course, and that Pharaoh's son was also a god, so that whenever Pharaoh died, then his son, the next god, would take his place and be god over Egypt. So what did the true God do? After using their false gods to plague them, the true God removed their false god by killing the son of Pharaoh, proving beyond the shadow of any doubt his absolute power as God Almighty. So tell me, what has God done for you lately to show you that he is indeed God Almighty? What has he done to strengthen your faith to believe beyond the shadow of any doubt that God did it for you in the past, and therefore he will sure enough do it again? Pharaoh, you see, at this point was broken, and therefore he tearfully, through his tears and his pain, he finally commanded the Israelites to get out. He had had enough. And so Israel, based on God's command, asked their former slave owners for all their silver and gold and fine linen and jewelry and all that good stuff. And guess what? They just simply gave it to them, so that when they left Egypt, they left with the wealth of Egypt, payment for 430 years of enslavement. But God was not through teaching his people and teaching the Egyptians about who he is. So what did God do? He literally led his people and put them in a bad place, with the Red Sea in front of them and nowhere to go. So God hardened Pharaoh's heart to pursue them and to kill them. Thereby, Pharaoh would get back at the God he had no power over by destroying God's people. So, with his army and the entire power of Egypt, he pursued Israel. And how did Israel respond? Well, of course they responded with faith, right? Of course, because they had already witnessed the power of their God displayed in the 10 plagues. So they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God could take care of this little kerfuffle that they found themselves in. After all, he was the powerful God who was leading them. Well, you know, I'm being facetious because that is not how they responded. Quite the opposite. The text tells us, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, but not in faith. And they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone." See, that was the discouragement. "Let us be slaves to the Egyptians." Really? It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, "Do not be afraid." Oh my, do not be afraid. "Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Did you hear those words? The Lord himself will fight for you. Stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff. Raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so that Israel can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers." You see, God has a greater plan for his glory. Even in the difficulty that you may find yourself in, God is going to ultimately use it and turn it around for your good and for his glory. And God says, "When my glory is displayed through them, then all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord." Then the angel of the Lord, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp so that they could not approach, the Egyptians couldn't approach the Israelites. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. See, God is using nature to prove his mighty power. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot's wheel, making their chariots difficult to drive. "Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." And that is the word of the Lord for you today. The Lord is fighting your battle. Yes, the Lord is fighting for you against those things the enemy has sent to attack you. So what do you need to do? Just be strong and of a good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. Oh my, oh my. That is the call to action. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. And as you do, you will have a fabulous Friday and a wonderful weekend with a great worship service and a blessed Father's Day to all the fathers. Peace and blessings rest upon you. Shalom.